You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Welcome back. Second Hour is live, and we are looking forward to talking to Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated. And there is news out today, Ross, writing about that the NCAA is, I don't know what they're going to do. The headline talks about how they're I'm afraid to put words in anyone's mouth, Ross, because it seems like I've already seen this movie. Good afternoon. Tell us what the NCAA is thinking about, or wanting, or doing, or not doing about NIL. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Paul. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's a little complicated, right? Like everything NCAA related, it's somewhat hard to explain, and you don't know if it's actually going to come to fruition. But as far as NCAA enforcement and NCAA investigations go, Paul, the NCAA for years now had a pretty high standard for a violation. When it investigated a school and it came upon a violation, it had a pretty high standard. It had to have on the record sourcing, on the record documentation to allege a violation. Well, back in October, a group of athletic directors that sit on the NIL subcommittee kind of recommended that the NCAA investigators have a little more leeway and lowered the standard of a violation, meaning they can go off anonymous tips and then even media reports, stories when it comes to NIL related matters. You know, we've seen almost a year of clamor from ADs, coaches, other people in the NIL space about how the NCAA has not come after teams and when it comes to NIL related violations. In the NCAA and enforcement will say, well, we haven't come after teams because the violation standard is so high. So they basically lowered it. So it makes it easier. It makes it easier for the NCAA and investigators to allege a violation, an NIL related violation to a school. And then it becomes up to the school, Paul, to prove that that allegation is not true. When usually it was kind of the other way around, right? It was very high standard of a violation, and the NCAA had to kind of prove that it was a violation. The schools now, and then the burden is kind of more on the schools. So what is supposed to happen here, you would think, the hope is from administrators, is that you would see more violations alleged, and you would see more investigations lead to violations and then subsequent penalties.
I'm curious, because everyone seems to be talking, or have been talking, including Nick Saban the other day, about what players are asking for. Do you think we're going to see now all the chirping calming down? Because once you do that, you're inviting attention, are you not?
Yeah, there's been a lot of chirping, right? We've seen a lot of figures thrown out there, whether by collectives or coaches or players themselves. That's one of the issues right now going on, or one of the problems in the NIL space, is what to believe. You know, what is true, what is not true with some of these numbers and some of these figures. I've had coaches tell me that, an athlete will come to them, maybe even one of their own athletes, and say, hey, coach, I'm entering the portal because I got a offer from school A for $100,000 a year. And the coach will say, well, we can't match that. And the player won't go in the portal. because maybe that offer never existed. So there's a lot of that going around.
In terms of where the real problems lie, depending on which source you believe, it's not so much coaches out there making these offers or pointing in certain directions. There are representatives. I mean, I hate to use the word agent, but I guess there's no better way to use it. You hear this stuff every day of the week. How would you describe what's really happening from a composite standpoint in terms of the portal and everywhere else?
Well, there. I know you kind of hesitate, and I do too, to use the word agent, but they are, you know, NIL agents. In fact, I attended the NCAA convention a few weeks back and sat in on an enforcement panel led by John Duncan, the vice president of enforcement for the NCAA, and he used that term. He used NIL agents in this space. And it is. It's a lot of and an NIL agent can be an actual agent, marketing agent, or it could be Uncle Bob, you know, or it could be Grandpa, or it could be some other family member, or it could be a friend who isn't necessarily licensed or certified to be an agent. But you can classify them as NIL agents. And certainly they want, agents' jobs is to get their clients, or a family member's job might be to get their son or nephew more money. And I think the way to do that is to get more offers. And that's, courting the player to other schools, or that's maybe even making up figures. Like, again, we've seen quite a bit out there. So it's hard right now for, I think, coaches and administrators to sift through what's real and what's not real.
Talking to Russ Ellinger from Sports Illustrated, you, speaking of the convention, changing of the guard, not official yet. Emmert still has his swan song coming up here in a couple of weeks, if not maybe 2 months. But what are you learning about Charlie Baker, the governor turned NCAA president, in terms of really what will be different, if anything?
Well, we did get the chance to sit down with Governor Baker. It's funny because this is about 3 weeks ago. So he was done being a governor, but he hadn't taken, as you mentioned, he hasn't actually officially taken over as NCAA president. So when we sat down, I really didn't know what to call him, you know, president, governor, what do you call him? And just a little window into who he is, he said, "Call me Charlie," you know. So it was a good conversation. He has a lot probably to learn, right, about college athletics. I think he's on the way to doing that, to learning. There's a lot of intricacies, obviously, with college athletics. But you know what, Paul? He was engaging, charming, personable. First impression was positive for him. But obviously, we didn't talk too much about the big issues. You know, it was more of a get to know you, sit down. So I think in order for him to talk, you know, intelligently about some of the issues, he's got to learn more about college athletics in general. And I think over the next few months he will. You know, he's known as a guy. Paul, he was a Massachusetts governor. That's a very democratic state, right? And he was a Republican governor in a Democratic state who had a 70%+ approval rating. That's pretty amazing. So I think that he can work on each side of the aisle, which is very important. You know, as you know, Paul, I'm based here in D.C. And I asked him, how often will you be in D.C.? And he made it known that he'll probably be here quite often, trying to get the wheels of Congress in motion for some kind of college athlete NIL bill.
So on that subject, Ross, we hear it from everyone. You've covered all of these meetings where somebody is saying, you know, we're heading to Washington, including Charlie. Do you ever call it Emmert, Mark? Just out of curiosity. Probably not. What's next on that front? Because you've done countless stories, whether it's Manchin or Tuberville or somebody else, two senators, talking about, trying to get something passed, but not to be a cynic, but I will be. It's hard to imagine this Congress getting anything passed.
It is. I mean, it took, 15 votes to get a Speaker of the House. So that doesn't exude a whole lot of confidence in that that college sports can be fixed by Congress. They have their own issues. The next steps as far as Capitol Hill is concerned is this bill coming at some point down the line here, probably later this spring, from Tommy Tuberville and Joe Manchin. And they've been working with Cory Booker and Richard Blumenthal, two Democratic senators. So you have two Democratic senators, right? You've got that lean pretty left, and you've got Tommy Tuberville, a Republican with a lot of knowledge about college sports, and then you got somebody kind of right in the middle, Joe Manchin. So a lot of people have faith and optimism in this bill. We'll see, right? I've heard that story before, but it's coming this spring, I think. You'll see some text coming into focus here pretty soon. There's a lot of people in college athletics that are pretty optimistic about this thing. We'll see going forward, Paul.
Final question, and I realize you're covering a lot of weighty issues. Meanwhile, Nick Saban continuing to look for coordinators on both sides. The name of the hour, Tommy Rees from Notre Dame. Any thoughts on how you think that might work in Tuscaloosa?
Yeah, a little bit. Didn't expect that to see his name involved with the Alabama offensive coordinator search, but here we are. I hate to project, how an assistant's going to do, but at Alabama they have an offensive system that they've had for years, right? I think it probably started to change with Lane Kiffin. And maybe it's a new coordinator kind of adds his twist here or there and obviously calls the plays. But for the most part, I think the big chunk of Alabama's offense stays the same. And so I don't know how important, an offensive coordinator is there. I mean, it's pretty important because Nick Saban, we know, is a defensive guy, and some might say the head coach of the defense. But I think Alabama's offense in general stays mostly the same. We've seen that since Lane kind of got there, and every new guy will bring in his little wrinkles. But this will be interesting to see how this plays out. I'm kind of told that by the end of the day Thursday, by the end of the night, that we'll know something one way or the other, whether Tommy Rees is accepting an offer or he's heading back to South Bend.
And finally, on the defensive side, it Jeremy Pruitt seemed like he was in position. Now we don't hear very much at all. You have your hand on the NCAA hot button there. Do you have any idea whether they're slow playing this, waiting for some clarity, or has that train moved on?
I'll be honest. I don't have any, inside info on that. I agree. We haven't heard a lot about it, which tells me that, Jeremy Pruitt to Alabama into the SEC in general might not happen. And I think there's probably some reasons behind that, right? The allegations that came out against Jeremy Pruitt, recruiting sanctions during the dead period. He was very integral. His wife also very integral. I'd have a hard time seeing the SEC office being okay with a man who is a former head coach in the league under investigation for very hands-on recruiting violations during COVID.
We'll leave it there. Many thanks, Ross. As always, we appreciate your time. Fantastic information and insight from Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated. We'll head to the break. Your phone call is around the corner. We are coming right back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. We continue, and let's check in with I-Man next up. Hey, I-Man.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. What is this, day 10 of the offensive or defensive coordinator search?
It seems like, Dele just said a minute ago, end of business today, so I guess last man standing is going to be Tommy Rees.
No, isn't that a coincidence? You know, that's something that Saban has done his entire career. He hires a coach from another school that's on his future schedule. And therefore, he looks like he's brilliant. You know, he gets a guy about a year, 2 years removed from the program. He knows all the ins and outs. He's got the playbook. And it's obvious he's scared to death of LSU if he's going after the Notre Dame guy. So Nick Saban fears. He's not a great coach. He's not even an honorable guy. He doesn't play within the rules. He is not a good man. He's just not a good guy. But you have been over backwards.
Well, you know, I mean, if I could jump in here for a second.
Just jump right in.
Well, I mean, I realize that you've had a winning script now for 15 years with Nick Saban, and you've gotten a lot of laughs, but I don't really understand what you're basing any of this on.
What? Give me a particular.
Well, you just said Nick Saban's not a good man. Like, what are you talking about?
He's just not a good guy. He doesn't play. You know, it's a game. There's a certain amount of honor that you have, I would guess, in the coaching, you know, department all across the country. And I just don't think he plays within that boundary. I think he plays outside that boundary, and he stretches all the rules, and he uses anything that he can. And he's really not a smart guy, Paul. He telegraphs. He's been telegraphing these hires since he's got there. I've been talking about these hires since he's got there. I mean, this is not the first time we've had this conversation.
Well, if he's not a smart guy, yeah, I mean, how come he has owned your program?
Nah, he hadn't owned my program.
Yeah, he has.
I don't have a program. You got a program. He owns your program. I don't have a program. I'm just a caller.
Getting rather defensive here, I man.
No, you're the guy with the program.
No.
You know what I'm talking about.
Don't play dumb here, okay?
Hey, you said program. If I had a program, where's my check? Where's my NIL money?
I mean, that's what that was.
And I'm not talking about Subway sandwich.
Quit obfuscating, okay? You're
obfuscating.
Yes.
You like those big words. See, you like those big words and bloviating and all that. You just hiding behind those words.
I am using those words
as a thinking point because I got you against the ropes.
I have to quote the greatest caller in the show's history. You're not making sapient points.
Hey, listen, I've got you on the ropes like Larry Holmes had Marvis Frazier, and I'm begging Joe to throw in the towel. And
here,
you use
the
biggest big
towel.
Words.
My cut man just threw in the towel. I am no match for you.
I tell you what, your knees all bent. They underneath. I mean, you look like Mike Tyson looking for a mouthpiece. You're using those big words because you're killing time while you're thinking. While I'm hammering, you say, throw in the towel, Joe. Joe, throw in the damn towel. But the Nick Saban has done this forever. And I do like that. That's kind of interesting that the NIL all of a sudden has decided to go back and look at a few programs. I guess you've got one program in particular you want him to go look at, right?
I mean, my program is right here. I don't have a program other than the one that you're calling
see,
into
you
every
have
day.
A program. You have a program. I don't have a program. I don't got a check. I don't get a check. I'm just a caller, and that's all I am, just a natural guy, just a caller. But you know, Paul, you have been leaning on this. You've been leaning on this this coaching search for a while. And then speaking of hires, didn't Nick Saban hire the young guy from Birmingham that Harsin fired? Well, I guess you can throw that Auburn playbook out the window. That won't be no damn good with you freeze. And there again, that's another guy. Nick Saban is fearing the thumb from everybody around. I'm telling you, Paul, he's building an ark. And guess what? His boat don't float. We've seen that little damn dinghy that you and him and Carly was in. It ain't big enough.
No.
Have a good day.
You too, I-Man. Always such a pleasure to hear your drivel. Ken is up next. Hello, Ken.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Well, I was doing great until the last interloper dropped in.
Yeah, well, I tell you what. If we could do without our man for just one day, I would be thankful to God. I got news for you. That guy right there, he is about the worst caller I have ever heard in my life. I can't stand to hear him. But anyway, Paul, here's what I wanted to get to. You know, I'm of the mind, Nick has probably made one mistake right now, and I think he's probably waited too long right now, Paul. What you think?
Well, I don't think he's waiting. There's no deadline here. Nothing really matters. I think he'll have a coach by the end of the day. He might have a defensive coordinator by tomorrow. There are some new names. There's some new old names surfacing. So, Saban can always get people. It's just a matter of who does he want.
Right, right. And I'm with you. I hope I'm speaking out wrong. But I've been kind of thinking for the last 2 weeks, Paul. Come on, Nick, hire somebody and let's get somebody good before they all got nuked. You know what I'm saying?
Well. Yeah, clearly he is down to second, third, fourth choice here on both offense and defense. But yeah, you know,
yes.
But that's that's okay. The problem for Saban, or it's not a problem, is that he just can't go and hire the best coach available because that coach has to fit his system, and that's what makes him unique. And it has made him who he is, but he has gone through a lot of coaches. I think that's an understatement. He's also had some amazingly great coaches. Some are wondering about this coaching search, so we'll take a break. More to come right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Yeah, welcome back. And Gary is up next. Hey, Gary, welcome to our show.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Good. I want to. I'm a Buckeye lover, fan, diehard. I wanted to give a shout out to Alex and his uncle from Michigan.
Wonderful.
You know, our blood rivals, right? You know what Michigan means to us off the football field?
No.
You're our brothers and sisters in every foxhole that's ever been dug in the defense of this nation. there is no greater service than that of a veteran. So, on behalf of Buckeye Nation, thank you, Alex, for bringing out your Uggles, 32 years of service, and may the nation honor him, and thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Gary, thank you. Thank you for that warm greeting. Appreciate it. Let's check out Jimmy, who is in Mississippi. Hello, Jimmy.
Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Paul. First of all, I want to tell you, we have great respect for you and your show and the job you're doing.
Thank you.
It's awesome just to listen to you and hear the wisdom that comes from your voice. A couple of comments and I'm sure it's been asked before, but I want to get your opinion on it. Spencer Sanders at Ole Miss and Jackson Dart, what do you think, who do you think the front runner will be possibly on that?
Jimmy, that's probably the most difficult question you've asked because I don't think right now anybody has a quarterback room that looks like what Lane Kiffin has. I always thought Dart was a good quarterback. But you add two more to the mix, and I think that's an unanswerable question until after spring.
I agree with you fully. I respect that answer because I don't think I agree. I don't think anyone could answer that question right this time.
The good news is this: of all the people around making that decision, I like Lane Kiffin because he is such a great offensive mind. Thank you for the call. And you you be well. Bob is in South Carolina. Hello, Bob.
How long you been on hold? Hi, Paul.
Hey there. Good afternoon.
I'm calling from Greenville, South Carolina. I was raised in Athens. And my memory of my first game that I saw was in 1946. Georgia played Alabama. I was at the YMCA uptown, and we would walk down Lumpkin Street,
sure,
down to the stadium, and the Y boys would play before warm-up started in the games.
That is great.
And I remember that in that game that Georgia wound up winning 14-7. Bill Stern came down to do the broadcast.
Oh, sure.
At halftime, it was 7-0, Georgia, and Alabama's band came out on the field, a $1 million band, and they played Give Me 5 Minutes More.
That's great. That is fantastic. That's a great memory.
That is really cool.
That is a fantastic first memory. I think we could go on forever on first memories of sports. You be well. You take care of yourself. Reverend Phil is up next.
Hey, Paul. First, I just want to join the others in speaking to Alex and committing myself with other viewers to hold him and his family in prayer.
Well, thank you for saying that.
Yeah. So I really have my tongue in my cheek today. I want to say something a little bit more on the serious side. I hope that's okay.
Okay, sure.
I hope that Stetson Bennett has some people in his ear saying something along these lines, and that is, people have always wanted to make a joke out of you for some reason, Stetson. Don't let them. You made a youthful mistake. I know you're older than most college football players, but you're still a young man with every dream you've got out in front of you. To me, you're right in the position you want to be. You got people telling you one more time what you can't do. People told you you wouldn't be a scholarship football player. You proved them wrong. People told you you couldn't start. You proved them wrong. People told you you couldn't keep that starting position because of all the five stars behind you. You proved them wrong. People told you that you'd be the reason Georgia wouldn't win the national championship, and you were one of the main reasons that they did. And then people told you to ride off in the sunset, be happy with it, and go open your car dealership. And watching you play this past year with freedom and with joy was something to behold. And so I just would hope somebody is telling him, Stetson, you're my horse if you never run another race. But whatever you want to do, do it with pride and self-respect. Don't listen to the cacklers from other fan bases. Don't listen to your own fan base if they're not ready to give you the respect you deserve. Don't listen to the Bible thumpers wanting to condemn you for a mistake. Listen to that voice of self-belief in your heart and prove them wrong one more damn time. I'll be surprised if you don't prove them wrong.
Amen, Reverend. That's my type of that's my type of preacher. I like that.
Well, thank you for giving me a moment for that little sermonette. And the one last thing I'll say, since I'm in a helping profession, is if we as Georgia Nation can do anything to help the hiring of Todd Grantham as Alabama's defensive coordinator happen, let me know what I need to do. Write a letter, carry a sign, anything we can do to get Todd Grantham.
Reverend, I just got two calls as you said that. The Alumni Association at Louisville in Florida would like to join you in that.
All right, baby. We'll carry some signs there in Tuscaloosa.
Thank you.
Paul, thank you. I appreciate the time.
You got it. Todd Grantham. This is one of the more interesting coaching searches that Nick Saban has had. Where there's almost more pushback than there is embracing. Now, of course, that will change once he makes the official announcement, whenever that is. Ryan is up next in Alabama. Hello, Ryan.
How you doing, Paul? It's 199 Ryan.
Ryan, good to hear from you, 199.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Paul, I want to go back to 2005. November 19, 2005. Does that ring a bell to you?
November 19th, 2005, we're down toward the end of the season. Is that the Iron Bowl?
It is, sir. Well, that game, I think we all remember what happened in that game, but I want to go back a night before.
Okay.
I was working for a guy named Ricky Bitten. He owns AES Industries. His family owns it now. In Tallahassee, Alabama, we had a hunting lodge out in Fitzpatrick, Alabama. It was all nice, and they pockets are deep. And he done had this big deck built across the pond with a fire pit in it. Anyways, long story short, I was chaperoning. People asked me if I wanted to make some extra money that night. I said, yeah. So I was chaperoning people. People would park at the upper gate. We chaperoned them all the way through the back because there was mud in the gators. Well, there was a guy there that night named Brody Krull. Brody Krull. I didn't get to be into the party. Like I said, I was chaperoning. But towards the end, I got to go down there. They was like, you want to meet him? I said, yeah. I got down there. Brody Krull was so wasted, he couldn't even get out of the chair. I said, Brody, don't you got a game tomorrow? He said, don't worry about me, kid. I knew right then and there the Iron Bowl was over. And look at what happened the next day. Sacked 11 times. Brody Krull sold us out. That's been a score for 18 years.
Ryan, let me say this. I've known Brody Krull since he was a young man. And I'm not saying it's almost inconceivable for me to believe that he would have been elsewhere the night before that game.
It's a true story, Paul. I'll put it on my kids.
Okay. Well, you were there. I was not. But I've known Brody. I've known his family. And that's just hard to imagine that.
It's hard to imagine.
It's really almost impossible for me to believe that. But I'll just leave it there. And your memory can rest with you. And mine will. My faith in the family that you talked about will rest with me. We'll take a short break. And we are coming right back.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Ron is up next in Virginia. Hey, Ron. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Paul, longtime caller, sir. You're looking sharp today.
Thank you.
I have a cologne pick for you from the 70s.
Okay,
it's
let's have it.
Canoe.
Canoe. Yeah,
it will fit with your outfit. Have you ever tried it?
Yeah, I can still see that little weird looking oval bottle or something sitting on my dresser.
Yeah. Paul, I've got to bring something up that has not been brought up on your show. You got to check into this.
Okay.
There's a high school coach from Bossier City, Louisiana. His name is David Fester.
Right.
He got fired, Paul, because he banned Nick Saban for recruiting in his school because he said Nick Saban's recruiting was unethical, and the principal of the school found out and fired the coach. I don't know if you know this,
yeah,
but you
no,
have
I
to
remember
check
the,
into
I remember
this.
The story, and I believe it was Bossier City. Bossier City is... part of
Bossier City.
Bossier City is part of Shreveport. There's a river that separates the two cities. I only know that because I lived there briefly. I vaguely remember that story, and so he got fired after that. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. The school found out that he had banned Nick Saban for unethical recruiting techniques, and the school fired him because of that. That is true. True story.
No, I remember the story. I haven't heard anything since then. Have you heard anything about this, or you've been meaning to bring this up for a couple of years?
No, it's not a couple of years. It's been a couple of weeks, Paul.
Oh, okay.
And
I
want to bring
it
up
a couple of years ago.
No. Maybe it is. You have to check into it.
Okay.
But I want to bring up, you said, the greatest college football game ever played.
Okay.
If it's all right with you.
Absolutely. Sure.
2014 Sugar Bowl against Ohio State and Alabama.
That was a great game.
I remember at halftime, it was 21-3 Alabama. My wife, like your wife, is from Alabama, said Ohio State just playing with them. I said, I don't think so. And at the end of the game, it was 43-35, and Ohio State won. I couldn't believe it. That was a great game.
Yeah, no, I'll never forget. Alabama was holding on, and then Ezekiel Elliott broke out. I think it was an 80-yard run that left everyone.
Yes. And if you remember, Paul, Greg McElroy was the quarterback for Alabama at that time. You remember that?
No. Hold on a second. The only reason I know that wasn't true is it could, because Greg McElroy was sitting next to me during that game.
Yes, sir.
No, we were doing one of those. What is now the Manning cast was the original Feinbaum film room, and Greg and I. I can't remember where we were, New Orleans, or we'd already flown back. We were sitting there with Booger McFarland, the three of us, doing the game. And Greg and I were speechless. Jake, who was it? Sims, who was the Sims? Was it Sims, the quarterback? Blake Sims was a quarterback. And
yes, he was.
Yeah, and Greg and I literally could not talk, and Booger just looked at us like, you Alabama homers, I mean, you got to grow up. because that was another of one of those redemption tours. Alabama had tried to have a three-peat the year before, and then the kick six took care of it. And then they lost to Ole Miss in the middle of the season, came all the way back, won the championship, the SEC. And I mean, this game was it should have never even been close. Alabama was by far the better team. And Ohio State was down to its third-string quarterback. Hey, thanks so much for the call. Trey is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hey, Trey.
Hey, Paul, I just wanted to tell you, your show the other day with Mitchell and Davis and that whole day, that was an amazing day.
That was
a great show, one of
Thank
the best
you for
in a while.
I
want to mention something about I-Man's comment. So he's so educated on Alabama, and that's all he talks about. Does he not realize how many coaches have been taken from Nick Saban to go on to other schools? I mean, we got Sarkisian at Texas. Kirby and Cochran at Georgia, Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. I mean, and if I'm not mistaken, and you correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Pat Dye leave Alabama to go to Auburn? I mean, so when is it?
I will correct you. He did not leave Alabama to go to Auburn. Pat Dye left Alabama to become a head coach at East Carolina, and then he went to Wyoming.
Danny
went to Auburn as the head coach.
But Nick Saban's not a good man when he goes out looking for coordinators from other schools. But I guess when other schools does it to Nick Saban in Alabama, it's not okay. But
Trey, do you realize you are responding to an I-Man call? Do you realize how futile that is?
Yeah, and that's really why I'm going to end it this way, Paul.
I mean, I know you're just out of the hospital, but you'd get more relief just banging your head against the wall than trying to make sense out of him.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.